In the new PBS documentary, Kind-Hearted Woman, airing on Frontline tonight and tomorrow on SDPB-TV, filmmaker David Sutherland tells the story of Robin Poor Bear, an Oglala Sioux woman from North Dakota's Spirit Lake Reservation. The documentary captures her struggles to raise her two children, further her education, and heal from the sexual abuse she suffered as a child. She also battles for custody of her kids, even after her ex-husband is convicted of sexually abusing their daughter. Sutherland's previous films include The Farmer's Wife and Country Boy, and he joins us on the line. David Sutherland, thanks for taking the time to join us on Dakota Midday.
Thanks for having us.
Also with us is Robin Poor Bear. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us as well.
Thank you.
Well, to begin with, David Sutherland, when did you first meet Robin Poor Bear?
I met her in 2007, early on.
And at that moment, did you know you wanted to do a documentary about her, or was this sort of preliminary conversations?
I was looking for a subject to capture battering, which I had missed in my other two series, The Farmer's Wife and Country Boys. I'm a portraitist, so I was looking to put a face on something. I usually deal with, my films usually deal with rural poverty, and this time I had missed some battering that had happened in those other two series. And I tried out this idea of abuse on a battered women's group in North Dakota through some rural mental health groups that I knew there. And actually, first of all, I wasn't interested in doing a film about a Native woman. I figured my middle-aged white men had caused Natives in this country enough trouble historically. And however, I did meet one woman that was very interesting who was Native, and it made me consider the topic. Does anyone know a Native woman and family up close? You might have a neighbor if you live in North Dakota, but in most places you don't. And so usually my goal is to put a face on someone that you root for, that has a quest, and that's articulate. So I met a number of, once I decided to put a face on Natives, you know, a Native family, not saying they stand for all Natives, just someone that you root for, that if at the end of the film you worry about how are they doing because you care about them, then you've looked at someone who happens to be Native. And then the idea of abuse would come out of that and other things, because I was looking for a subject who was recovering. After meeting about 50 different women, I met Robin somewhere in the middle of that. I thought that she could go the distance. I thought she had a good sense of humor about herself. I was just unsure, could she effectuate enough change in her life and her quest? Because she had stayed at the same job for a number of years. But I know I'm wrong more than half the time, because, man, does she move around in this film.
Well, Robin Poor Bear, what was your reaction when David Sutherland decided that he wanted to make this documentary and make you the face of this story?
Terrified.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know. I struggled with it for after he told me that he wanted to film me, then I struggled with it, and I went downhill from there, because if I speak out about the abuses that I went through as a child, I'd be speaking out against the woman I called my mother, people that I called my sister, you know, uncles, aunts, and those are the ones that raised me. So I had to decide, do I do the film or do I give up my family? And I ended up having a dream one night because I was struggling with this so much. And I felt really, really just negative energy around me. And I couldn't take it anymore. And I just prayed to the Creator and asked Him to tell me why I felt like that. And I ended up having that dream that night that somebody in the house died. Everybody in the family knew how that person died, but nobody said nothing when the police came and were questioning. And when right before the police left the house, I opened my mouth and I said, I know what happened. And when I woke up from that dream, I was trembling, I was just shaking, I was cold, I was sweating, and I was crying. I was just crying, and I realized that person that had died in the dream was me, the way I was, you know, killing myself slowly by drinking. And I knew that I needed to open my mouth and speak out about it. And I decided then, if it helps one woman out there, one child, one man, you know, to whoever that has gone through anything that I've gone through and can relate to it, then they were worth it, because I didn't want them to feel alone anymore. And when I decided to do the film, that's when, you know, my foster family didn't want nothing to do with me. And as of today, you know, they still don't. And that's fine, because I don't carry that shame anymore. And I don't have to protect them anymore. You know, I just, you know, I do what I do. You know, it's sad to say, but they would have rather seen me an alcoholic drinking and slowly killing myself than doing what I do today.
What was it like for you then to have these cameras following you around, and I think it was a small crew, but the people following you around and capturing very intimate parts and details of your life?
Yeah, used to them, actually. Uh-huh. The way they do things is just, I don't know, I got used to them, you know. I would tell them, you know, I'm going to do this today, have this to do, you know, and whether they were able to film or not, then that's how they did it. But David is, in a sense, you know, he became my therapist because he listened to me so much. You know, but he's also, you know, a very, very, he changed my life forever. He changed my children's life forever, because the power of listening to somebody who has been through abuse in itself, that's what David did. You know, he just listened, or he'd ask me, you know, how do you feel about that, or what's going on, you know? And I'd tell him, you know, and I put my life in his hands, you know, and what he did with it was, you know, I trusted him. And I'm just so grateful that I did. Every day I wake up, you know, all of the people that have helped me along the way, I try to make my offering and try to make sure that, you know, the Creator hears me when I say thank you, you know. Thank you for putting these people in my path, and thank you for getting me to where I am today, and, you know, help me to continue. As different obstacles come our way and life happens, you know.
Now, David Sutherland, Kind-Hearted Woman, is a rather emotionally draining documentary. I'm wondering what it was like for you and the crew to be there as Robin and her children were going through all of the difficult challenges that you portray in the documentary. Was it emotionally draining for you as well?
Yeah, it was. I had never ruined something I filmed. There was one scene that they were telling me a story. I'm not going to get into the story now. You can see the film. There's a number of ones that are very emotionally charged and hard to listen to. And I actually burst out crying in the middle of an interview. And some of that footage we couldn't use. And my crew was the same way. I mean, and sometimes besides either sadness, there were a lot of moments that were happy moments when the family's doing well also. Robin's daughter, Darian, organizes a basketball tournament, and Robin's involved in this high heel march where the men wear high heels in International Falls. It's a statement against abuse, and so there's a march where the men walk around town. Things like that. They were happy moments, and then there were frustrating moments when she's struggling to get in touch, to get custody of her kids, and she's a charged charged with molesting her own children, which is why she supposedly can't see them in the tribal court hearing. And then you go to the court and no one shows up from the tribe. Moments like that, and you find out that her ex-husband the social caseworker has brought the kids to see him, but she hasn't seen her kids for almost 5 months. Those moments are trying in a different way. And that's just us being there. What about for her and her kids? And so it's everything. It's a gamut of emotions.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting, and we're talking with filmmaker David Sutherland about the Frontline documentary airing tonight and tomorrow, Kind Hearted Woman. The subject of the documentary is Robin Poorbear, and they're both with us on the line. Robin, wondering what it was like for your daughter Darian and your son Anthony to be a part of this documentary with the cameras there as well for some very emotional, intimate parts of their lives.
They got used to it, you know. My son Anthony, he was just, when are they coming again, you know? Are they going to be around? I want to do this, you know, and they come up with their own little things. And, you know, Darian, when she did that basketball tournament, I don't even know if she said it on camera. I don't think she did, but maybe she did. I don't know. But she was just like, you're not taking credit for this, right, Mom? If you do, I'm telling them you didn't do this. You know, and I was like, I'm not taking credit for it. They know, everyone knows that I'm just making copies of the flyers and handing them out. You know, so they got really, really used to having them around. And, you know, there are times when the kids would just be like, I don't want to film. Mm-hmm. And that was it, you know.
David, tell them, as a filmmaker, there has to be, you have to, I'm assuming, have a lot of respect and understanding as a documentarian to know when you have to keep your distance and when to turn the cameras off. Is that part of putting together a documentary?
Yeah, it's that, but there's something else you have to realize. One luxury that, I won't call it a luxury because you could call me a lunatic for spending so much time making these films. The last three series have taken just about 20 years, so I'm not a kid anymore, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, but what I'm trying to get at is, in the editorial process, it was almost 5 years, and I knew from the outset it would take almost that because there's editing, which, you know, the film's been done for... The story's been done since 2011, so we've been editing. We were editing while we were making it, but what was going to be in the final film, some of that stuff, you didn't have to make your mind up, well, is it going to go in or not in the film because it's too sensitive, and how do the kids feel about it? So a lot of this stuff... you know, when we showed the film, like Darian, for example, saw the film right before it went on TV, and she said she wanted to be an advocate. But you don't know how they're going to react to it. You don't know anything. And so, but as teenagers, you know, they have the right. You know, if something wasn't going to be there, I promised to show it before it went on, and I did. But it also is, also there's the other issue. I'm not good at many things, but I'm a good dad and I'm a grandfather and I have two grandkids. And, you know, you have to think about, I mean, there are certain things that you're not sure about. So sometimes, and also some of the other things is that in this film, there were scenes when things happened that are very emotional. But the scene might have been, well, I didn't bring it up. Robin was talking to them about school, and then it goes into some other topic. And the cameraman might be in the room because I use a lot of radio microphones, and so the whole crew isn't in the room. And something happened a few times because it was a charged time during some of these, during especially the trial. But there are other moments, too, growing up. you know, just the idea of forgetting that stuff. There were issues about moving. There were issues about all types of things. And sometimes something comes out of another one, and it becomes another issue, and it becomes totally emotionally charged when you're thinking that you're doing something very, it's going to be a peaceful scene. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you never know what will happen.
Yes.
Now, Robin, poor bear, when... As the documentary opens, you were struggling with alcohol in your past. I'm wondering, through all of the challenges that you go through that are portrayed in Kind-Hearted Woman, how difficult was it to stay strong and sober as you struggled to get custody of your kids and to maintain your grades in school and all those sorts of things?
The first 3 months. 3-4 months of my sobriety, those were the hardest, because, you know, that's when the kids left, got taken from me, they didn't leave. But I had a strong support system in place for my sobriety, and they just surrounded me and carried me through, and I knew in my heart then that, you know what, they want me to fail. They want me to start drinking. They took my kids. They took everything else. They want, you know, there's nothing else they can take from me. I have nothing left, you know, and that just made me want to fight harder for them.
David Sutherland, ultimately, what would you like people to understand about the story of Robin Poorbear and the story that you're telling in Kind-Hearted Woman?
Well, I'm a portraitist, and so I wanted to put a face on, as I said, a Native family that you would root for. And I do think if you worry about them in 6 months, or as Anthony Robin's son says, the Indians invented Thanksgiving. That's a quote from the film. I wonder if 2 months after this film, for many reasons, you wonder one day, how are Robin and the kids doing? Then you've thought about them as just a family who happened to be Native. But in another sense, as somebody that was my quest once I decided to do a film on a Native family. But in the issue of abuse, remember, I'm not an investigative reporter. And in this story, with what's happened at the Spirit Lake Reservation, that story caught up to the film a couple of years recently, and my film and story were done by that time. So now the film has a possible effect on making maybe another woman, not just Native, or somebody will speak out about their issues, which is what Robin's goal was right from the start. And the other thing is, I've watched somebody that I filmed, not because of, I don't think because of the film, but just in general, go the distance in making this film. And as Attorney General Eric Holder cited her for, as being somebody, this is in 2011, I believe he did, being somebody that could make a life and do positive things. And out of starting, I'm not saying from the ashes, but from very little, you know, recovering from abuse and all of that. So, I mean, there's a lot of things to think about, and it's a different experience, because my films I've never thought about as having any effect. It's just that it's topical because of Spirit Lake. But Robin is a special person, and that's it. That's all I have to say.
Well, Robin, as David Sutherland mentioned, people who watch the documentary want to know how you're doing. How are you and your kids?
We're doing great. We are doing really good, you know. They are, hopefully we'll be able to get up to Wyoming so we can go look at the colleges there, because that's pretty much where they're both set on going, so... You know, we plan on doing that hopefully this summer, you know, but they're doing great. My son's taller than I am now, and, you know, they're just amazing, amazing kids. And, you know, I've every day with I have with them is a blessing for me.
Well, Robin Porbear, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us, and best of luck to you and your kids.
Thank you.
And David Sutherland, thanks for taking the time to join us on Dakota Midday as well.
Thank you.
Robin Porbear is the subject of David Sutherland's Frontline documentary, Kind-Hearted Woman. She's mentioned in the documentary. She goes by under her former name, Robin Charbonneau. She's now known as Robin Porbear. David Sutherland is the director, the filmmaker of Kind-Hearted Woman, and the first part airs tonight and the second tomorrow on SDPB-TV at 8 Central, 7 Mountain.